Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today is that says that some of us are stuck for short seasons of time, while others surrender to a life of being continually trapped and frustrated. You know, it's hard to feel stuck and to feel like there's just no way out. I've heard people say, I wish there was something I could do. There's just nothing I can do. But you know what? There's always something you can do. You can fast. You can pray. You can obey. You can remember and apply what you've read in God's Word. You can seek counsel. You could even develop a robust faith in the meantime. There's a big difference between surrendering to your circumstances and to surrendering to God in your circumstances. So today's a great day to discover what's holding you back, what's keeping you stuck, so you can re-envision your life story and step into all God has for you. Super excited about today's show. Moody Bible Institute president and author Dr. Mark Jobe joins me today to talk about his book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. And I got to tell you, I went through almost the whole book. It is fantastic. I got to tell you, too, that our text line is still not up. I'm lost without it. I am. But we got a handful of copies to give away, so we still want to make sure to get resources into your hands. So this is how we're doing it today. You can email my producer, Angela@myfaithradio.com, and put book in the subject line, and she'll make sure to send you a link to get you signed up. Angela@myfaithradio.com. A quick announcement before we hear from Mark. We are giving away one copy every day of this month, Max Lucado's book, In the Footsteps of the Savior. Max's writing is just epic, isn't it? It's just timeless as well. Well, this book really takes you on this unforgettable journey through Jesus' life on earth, giving you a chance to see the Holy Land and God's heart for humanity in a brand new way. We're giving away one copy a day. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Mark Jobe serves as 10th president of Moody Bible Institute, a higher education, broadcasting, and publishing ministry founded, listen to this, in 1886. Dr. Jobe is the author of Unstuck, Out of Your Cave, and Into Your Call. He's the host of Bold Steps, a weekday program heard on stations across the nation, including right here on Faith Radio, right before my show. He serves as senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and founder of New Life Centers, a nonprofit focused on helping at-risk urban youth. He's a busy guy. He and his wife, Dee, serve together in ministry and have three adult children. Dr. Mark, what an honor to meet you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be on your show. And now that I'm on Faith Radio, Suzy, I'm just kind of warming people up with my program for your show that comes right after.
Right. Yeah, you're not exactly my warm-up band, but I'll take it for today. That's great. So good. Good to have you. And I told you off the air, this book is so great, so I cannot wait to dig into it. And before we do, though, I would love to just make it personal. What has the Lord been talking to you about these days in your time with Him?
Yeah, and I'd love to share. Before I do that, though, let me say that my wife, Dee, was very excited to hear that I was going to be on the air with you because she's taken our pastor's wives. We have 27 locations, our church does, and 35 pastoral couples, and she gets together with the wives twice a month. And she recently took them through two books, Your Powerful Prayers and Your Beautiful Purpose by the one and only Suzy Larson. So thank you for writing, and you've been a blessing to the pastor's wives in Chicago.
Wow. So honored. I don't even know what to say. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Bless you. Please give her a hug for me. Honored.
I will. She's an amazing, amazing, awesome woman. Mm. But you asked what I've been learning lately, and I would have to say, recently, this last couple of weeks, I've been preaching through a series on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what struck me about this as I've been preaching through this? The word that Jesus uses at the beginning of each phrase is makarios in the Greek, which means blessed, blissful, happy. And then he goes on and he says things that would surprise most of us when he uses expressions like, happy are the poor in the spirit. Most of us don't want to be poor at anything. We want to be rich. But happy are those who mourn. Most of us don't want to mourn, and we would not think happy are those that are meek. And that seems very far from our American version, or those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, or the merciful, or the pure in heart, or the peacemakers, and least of all, the persecuted. And so what has struck me recently, Susie, is that God's definition of what it means to be blissful, happy, his formula to that is very counterintuitive and countercultural to the American version of what it means to be happy. Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes even as Christians, we tend to buy into the American version of what it means to be happy and disregard God's blessed, happy, blissful way of what it really means to be happy, because happiness is a byproduct, not our ultimate goal, is the byproduct of poor in spirit, of meek, of peacemakers, of being persecuted, of mourning with those who mourn. And so that's what's been resonating in my spirit recently.
Boy, that's so good. And it really does speak of an otherworldly perspective, doesn't it? It's not based on sinking sand. It really is built on Christ's solid rock. And when I think about the times we're in, you know, things are being shaken so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. You can either be so disoriented by this time, or you can look around at what's not shaking. And what you're talking about in the Beatitudes is there, we have access to a joy that goes so deep that's really regardless of the circumstances. I mean, that to me, that's an invitation that is so sacred, but we miss it when we're looking to the things of this world to satisfy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think of my mother, Susie. She has been a missionary for 50 years. She left the country when she was in her late 20s and really lived in little shacks with my father up in the mountains of Chile. They rode horses to reach these little enclaves, went to Spain and met in a horse stable seriously for the first church. And she's 85 years old. She's legally blind, but let me tell you something, and still lives in northern Spain. She has the most joyful spirit of anybody that I know of. And my father passed away, so she's been a widow for quite a few years, but just has this joyful, positive, spirit-filled kind of attitude towards life. And I think of her and I think of counterintuitive joy, and it's what I aspire to as well.
Wow, what a model for you. I mean, truly, she's modeling something that you're just talking about that's so, the word escapes me, but it's like so beyond our circumstances. And I think that's what the world notices, is when someone in her circumstance still has this otherworldly joy. I think that's just beautiful. Well, I would love for you to share with our listeners, I got to read about it in your book, Unstuck, but just a bit of your backstory, specifically a time when you found yourself stuck in your circumstances.
Yeah, so I wrote Unstuck in part because I spoke at a men's conference about this topic, and afterwards there was a line that just went around the stage. All these men wanted to talk about them being stuck, and one of them actually came up to me and said, "Have you written anything about this? This really resonates." And that's the first thought that was put in my head around this idea. But the first time I remember really being stuck, I had just started pastoring an inner city church on the southwest side of Chicago, and I was, you know, they were paying me $8,000 a year. I was the worship leader. I was the preacher. I was the janitor. I was 21 years old, still needed, had a lot to learn, and just thought that, you know, I could make a difference in the world for God. And about a few months into it, I just came to a screeching halt. I was worn out. I was tired. I had no insurance. I was sick. I got up to preach, and I could barely finish my message. And so I went to see a doctor that my grandmother's doctor that said, I'll see you for free. And he basically said, you're worn out. You have this, that, the other. You just need to rest. And I remember going and laying on my grandmother's flowery couch covered with plastic, if you, some of you know what I mean. And just saying, God, what's going on here? And I realized at that moment that I was stuck. I had been trying to do a lot of ministry in the power of my own strength, in the power of my own flesh. And I was just felt like I was spinning my wheels trying to be a little Messiah. And during those couple of days that I stayed at my grandmother's house, I had a deep sense that the Holy Spirit was telling me, you're doing this in the power of the flesh. I need you to get off the flesh little treadmill, and I need you to pray more, seek me more, and remember that this is my work, not yours. Mm-hmm. And it was a real breaking moment for me, a repentance moment, but a moment that really helped me get unstuck. And that was, now I've been stuck multiple times over the years, but that's the first one I remember being stuck in ministry. And over the years, God has had to speak to me at different times where I've gotten stuck to not stay in that place, but to get unstuck so I can pursue my calling.
So great. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you'll talk a little bit more if you went, just, I mean, you noticed when you went back a shift because you were operating in the strength and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And you said, my personal meltdown impressed upon me the importance of not going ahead of God nor lagging behind him, but seeking to stay in step with what he was doing. And in doing so, you started to see fruit and there was a little bit more ease in the effort. And I also love, Mark, how you said that wasn't the only time you were stuck. And I think it's a reminder for all of us. I mean, life happens, and that's why we need to be really high discerners of the times, our hearts, the circumstances, so we don't stay stuck for too long. Dr. Mark Job joins me today. Unstuck is his book, Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. Really great book. Got a handful of copies to give away. We're excited to switch over to our new text messaging, but it's not up yet. That takes a little bit to make the transition. So in the meantime, you can email Angela@myfaithradio.com. If you want in on the drawing, just put book in the subject line. And we will be back in a moment. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Honored to be talking to Dr. Mark Joby. He's pastor. He's also president of Moody Bible Institute, and he oversees an urban ministry. My goodness, you're a busy man. He's written a really great book. I love it. It's titled Unstuck, Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. You can email if you want in on the drawing. It's a little different, but we got to do it this way till our new text line is up. You can email Angela@myfaithradio.com. Mark writes this, getting unstuck does not mean you need to move to another state, change your marital status, find a new job, switch churches, replace a business partner, alter your hair color, shift your major in college, or get a new tattoo. It does mean making new choices in the middle of your current circumstances. You know, that's such a good point, because I think at times when we find ourselves stuck, Mark, I think the first motivator for us is relief, not redemption. You know, it's like, I want immediate relief. And sometimes you'll make permanent decisions in temporary circumstances. So how does a person discern the best choice to make in such a situation?
Yeah. And Susie, that is such a great point, because most people that get stuck, and we all get stuck at one time or another, we don't like the feeling of being stuck. It's this feeling of not moving forward, We hate being stuck in an elevator because we start to panic. And but our most quickest solution is change. And so I run into people all the time that are in a difficult time in their marriage and they just want out, or their church, they feel like they're not going anywhere and they just want to switch churches or move to another place. And so those are exterior circumstances. And typically what I've discovered is that most people will go back to being stuck in a new town with a new wife, with a new haircut, or with a new tattoo. Because what really gets us unstuck, when I'm talking spiritually, has to do with some of the transitions that have to happen in our own heart.
Well, let's talk about some of these. In fact, I was going to have you set up Elijah. I wonder if you want to do that first, because these seven sticking points I thought were so good. I want to make sure we have time to cover every single one. Do you want to cover first Elijah? Just give us context, because that's really what your message is built around, and that's what you mean about getting out of our own cave. So let's start there. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about Elijah first?
Yeah, so Elijah, most of your listeners are probably familiar with him. He's this iconic figure that just does incredible things, calls fire down from heaven, and he stops the rain, and he's just this incredible man. You have to be pretty high up there to show up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, that's a very exclusive group, Susie. Yet this mighty man of God finds himself disillusioned with how things turned out, full of fear and running from his call, ultimately finds himself in a desert. And not only that, Susie, he actually finds himself suicidal. At one point in time, he says, life is not worth living. I just want to die out here. And he ends up in a cave. And it's in that cave that God has to reroute him. And on the other end of that cave, he's unstuck and continues in his ministry. But we find this mighty man of God at a very challenging point of his life, and there's a series of things that led up to that.
Well, one of the things that struck me is that he was, you know, on Mount Carmel, that face-off, a lot of times we tell that story, you know, it's like he made fun of the prophets, basically. It was a sound victory. So you would think, as you said in the book, he would be able to exhale finally. You know, finally the death chase is over, and the, you know, God has vindicated him, and God has vindicated his own name, and he could ride off into the sunset, and what a battle. But as you point out, that really wasn't the case.
Yeah, and sometimes on the heels of a great victory, someone has been single for a long time. It's been their main prayer that they could find the right man and be married, and that would solve all their problems. And so finally, the wedding's over, the honeymoon's over, and now they realize, wait a second, this is not everything I expected it to be. And sometimes that can lead to a nosedive into disillusionment and depression if we're not careful. So sometimes it's after the big victories where we look and this is not how I thought the story would turn out. Elijah had a major victory on Mount Carmel, but I think he expected that the nation would turn around, that the king and queen would surrender to God, but instead they threatened him. And so the way he pictured the story turning out was not turning out that way. In fact, after all this battle and major fire from heaven, he finds himself in a story that he didn't anticipate. And so I think oftentimes we get stuck because we didn't think our story would turn out this way, and emotionally we're depleted. We are in a bad place in our spiritual life, and disillusionment sometimes can lead us to a place of getting stuck.
You know, another thing that really stuck out to me, because you told so many good stories in the book. So you've got some, as you say, maybe they were single, they had dreams of marriage, but their expectations, so they had unrealistic expectations. You had a dream of hitting some pinnacle and you hit it, and then the fall, the crash happens because you have these unrealistic expectations. But there were others who spiraled and got stuck because of unexpected disappointment, where they didn't process their disappointment correctly. Like you had one, I think his name is Chuck, that was vibrant and gifted, but when he encountered some criticism at work, he didn't process it in a redemptive way to his own detriment. So maybe say a word about that. I mean, the idea of both of these, unrealistic expectations and unexpected disappointments.
Yeah, and Susie, both of those can be devastating to us. Where life doesn't turn out exactly the way we expected, or where criticism comes at us in a very powerful way. Elijah was used to critics, but in his mind, I think he thought it was going to turn around and there was going to be a hurrah victory. I think of pastors these days who, during the pandemic, just received more criticism than ever before because it was hard to make everybody happy. And, you know, Barna has done some research and said that 48 pastors at one time, 48% of the pastors were seriously considering quitting ministry.
Wow.
Most of those highly affected were under the age of 50, but really the bottom line was criticism. They just thought, people are going to love me, I'm going to shepherd, I'm going to minister the word, and now they're fighting over mask or no mask, vaccines, or you said too much about this, not enough about that. And criticism can be devastating. Elijah was being sought after. His life was being threatened. He was not popular in every circle. And so he literally abandoned his call, ran from his calling because of criticism and the fear of repercussions. And, you know, oftentimes I think that when we get hurt, when we're running from something, we always end up in a cave, always. And usually in that cave is the cave of self-pity, depression, discouragement, where we just want to get away from everybody, get away from everything, lick our wounds. And you see this reel of self-pity playing over and over in Elijah's mind. When he talks to God, you see the self-pity oozing out. God, I've done everything I should. I tried to do everything right. Look at where I ended up. I've done my part, but Israel hasn't turned around. They're looking to get me. And I think that's part of it is, Susie, when we get discouraged, I think, and life doesn't turn out the way we expected it to, it's easy to get into this, get stuck in the mud of self-pity and thinking that we did everything right. How come God hasn't done his part? But actually, God was doing his part, and Elijah had a skewed narrative.
We're going to pause right there, because how many of us have a skewed narrative? And that's why it's so important to process your expectations and your disappointments, right? I always say God's promises don't apply to your unrealistic expectations. They apply to your impossible situations. Those are two different things. More with Dr. Mark Job in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're helping you to get unstuck today. Everybody finds themselves stuck a number of times throughout our life's journey. And as my guest today says, some stay stuck for just short seasons, but others stay stuck for way too long. So we're talking about how to get unstuck with Dr. Mark Job. His subtitle is Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. And you can, if you want in on the drawing, a little different process today, just email Angela at myfaithradio.com. In fact, my producer Angie is taking such good notes. She asked this in the chat. Are we going to let our circumstances and experiences define how we see God? Or are we going to let His Word and His definition of Himself define how we see Him? Such a critical point. This is so good. It is. It's such good conversation. Okay, Mark, let's talk about your seven sticking points because they were also good. And so I'll start with the first one, isolated living. And this is what you write. So good. Solitude is a great spiritual discipline. Isolation is an emotionally lethal condition that most of us struggle with. Isolation is unhealthy in virtually any season and context of life. The most dangerous place in the world is to be alone with our dark thinking and unresolved issues. That's just potent. So say more if you would.
Yeah, so Jesus got alone often to pray to the Father. So there's a difference between the practice of solitude and being emotionally isolated. Have you ever noticed, Susie, when people become depressed, that typically their natural inclination is to isolate?
Yeah.
When I talk to some people that are going through a difficult time, I'll say, hey, I haven't seen you in small group or I haven't seen you in church, because when people are depressed, they don't want to be around other people. The very thing they need is the thing they run from. The community of faith, other people. Elijah, when he got depressed and he got stuck, he isolated. He ran to the cave. He ran to the desert, and he was by himself. And in his isolation, his thinking got worse and worse and worse. Have you ever been in an argument or fight with someone, and then you're just alone and you just kind of rehearse it over and over and over and over and over, you go over and over, and the longer it goes, the worse you get, because your thinking just takes you spiraling downward.
Yeah, so true. Which then leads to number two. This is another sticking point, is distorted thinking. Distorted thinking is like a bad recording that plays over and over in our heads, convincing us of a false reality. Eventually, that distorted message shapes and defines the way we see the world. Those messages in our head repeat lies about our identity and destiny. Again, it's so important, because when we get a skewed perspective and then we're isolating and we're rehearsing, suddenly what's true doesn't feel true anymore. And our rehearsing lies to the point of really picturing a false reality truly impacts our identity and destiny. So say more about that.
Yeah, so in Elijah's case, for example, he's rehearsing this narrative about himself, about the world, and he basically tells God, and I'm the only one left. Later on, God actually corrects that narrative and says, there's 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal. But in his thinking, in his isolated living, and in his distorted thinking, Elijah felt like he was the only one, that everybody else had abandoned God, that his efforts had been in vain, that Israel was not turning back to him, that his calling had been wasted, that really nothing that he did had any impact. And so that was his distorted thinking. And Susie, what I've discovered is that when we get in bad places of self-pity, deep discouragement, or depression, we allow a false narrative about ourselves and about our world to start to overcome us. And sometimes we just get in this narrative that's just not God's narrative. It's not God's narrative, and we have to be jolted out of this false, depressing narrative. For example, let me just speak to where we're living at right now. Our country's in a state of decline, and we see it shifting radically. The nones are becoming those that are unaffiliated religiously. People's view on human sexuality, on so many things that used to be very clear to the church, are confusing. And it's easy to get this dark, depressed view of the future. However, the Word of God tells me that God is still on the throne, that God works all things out to his good, that ultimately every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Word of God speaks into this narrative. We could get very depressed if we think that this world is controlled by political forces or by cultural forces. It's not. There is a sovereign God that reigns supreme and ultimately accomplishes his purposes. And so we need to remember not to buy into this distorted narrative of the world is dark and everything's going down, because ultimately, the gospel triumphs.
Come on. I'm just going to tell you, if our text line was working right now, we would have a flurry of amens coming in right now. We have a very engaged audience. So somebody got to give me an amen. If you can't text it, at least shout it. That is so true. And it really is. You know, I think one of the ways that you can get your thinking put back right again is to be with people who are thinking right. So when you isolate and go to distorted thinking, you know, to be able to come back and talk to someone of sound mind who's walking intimately with God to say, this feels true to me. What do you think? You know, I think to have feedback from somebody to say, actually, you're seeing it all wrong. There's no evidence to back up that you're a loser or that you're rejectable or that there's no hope for the future. In fact, let me show you the promises just as you did. I think another reason why we need each other, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and even let me say about our culture and where we live in, you know, I minister in the city of Chicago, and we minister in some of the rougher neighborhoods of Chicago, and I've been there for 30 years, so I've seen some darkness. But I have to say that I'm also seeing just incredible evidence of life. We're seeing so many people come to Christ these days, so many people, Susie, that are confused about the world, that are anxious, and they don't know where to go. And so many of them are turning to God, and especially young people. On Easter Sunday, just at the one location that we're at, my son, who's 29, preached. We saw 106 people give their life to Christ.
Wow.
And on a regular basis, we're seeing people bow their knee and say yes to Jesus. Yes, in this city that you see all over the news in a very negative, this negative light, we're seeing tremendous God activity. And so just be careful about that distorted thinking.
Come on. That's so good. And you're right. I mean, we've got listeners, once the live show's over, our podcast listeners, we have about 170 countries that listen from all over the world. And Chicago does make national and international news. And that's why you can't believe everything you hear, because if the bad news seems stronger and more prominent than good news, you're getting an imbalanced perspective. So to hear from pastors right in the thick of it to say, let me tell you, people are bending their knee to Jesus, that is amazing. And you think about, for every life changed, that's a family and a community impacted by the light of Christ. So powerful. Wow. Okay. The third sticking point. So we've got isolated living, distorted thinking. Here's the third one, impaired hearing. And you say, many of us have so much white noise in our life, we struggle to hear the clear voice of God. It's virtually impossible to hear the gentle whisper of God while engaged in fear-filled, anxious, insecure, self-pitying conversations that rumble loudly in our heads. Say more.
Yeah, you know, Elijah ended up in the cave, and he spent the night there. And God said to him, what are you doing here? And it's interesting, because there's all this dramatic stuff happening outside of the cave. And oftentimes, we think that something dramatic is going to get us unstuck. It's the lightning, the words written in the sky. It's some life-altering event, but it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the fire, it wasn't in the wind, it was in the whisper. And so many times, it's in the whisper. And Elijah had to actually go to the mouth of the cave to hear the whisper. I had an opportunity, Susie, to speak at an event in northern Spain. It's an interesting story, but it was to a bunch of Catholics, and mainly priests and nuns. They invited me to speak. This was years ago. And I thought, okay, I will if you want me to. And anyways, God showed up. I did an altar call. A bunch of people came forward, prayed for a lot of people. But after the event, I was walking down the street thanking God that he moved in such a powerful way. And a guy came running down the street in Spanish, calling my name, Marcos, Marcos, Marcos. And he came up to me desperate, breathing hard, and he said, "Could you pray?" He said, "I've been a believer for a while. I've never heard the voice of God. Could you pray that God would speak to me?" And I looked at him, and I saw the sincerity, and I said, "No, I'm not going to pray that God would speak to you." And he was just distraught. "Why won't you pray that?" I said, "Because I'm a father." I said, "I can't imagine not speaking to my children on a regular basis because I love them." And I said, "I'm not going to pray that God would speak to you because my father speaks to his children. Amen. I'm going to pray that whatever is hindering you from hearing God would be taken out of your life, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is speaking, but something is hindering you from hearing." And so I guess I want our listeners to know that without a shadow of doubt, through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking all the time to us, speaking into our lives through the word, it coming alive. And so if you sense that you have not heard the voice of God, maybe you have not quieted yourself, got rid of the noise. And, you know, when my kids were young, I would call them up sometimes for dinner and they wouldn't hear me because they had their headphones in. And it wasn't that I wasn't speaking. It was they couldn't hear my voice because they had other things in their ears. And so I think that's what that point is about.
Boy, that is so good. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into the next sticking point, and it's a warped identity. And these almost build on each other. I can see how they'd stand alone, but they also, I would imagine, create an unhealthy momentum if they're left unresolved. These are sticking points, things that keep you stuck. Isolated living, which then leads to distorted thinking and can lead to impaired hearing. And the next one is a warped identity. I would love to know. I wish our text line was working so you could text me back and tell me if you were super honest with me right now. What is the mental picture that you carry of yourself? What is it? Like, what comes to mind when you think of yourself? I would love to know. Talking to Dr. Mark Job, his book is Unstuck. Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. Great book, because he writes like he speaks. We got a handful of copies to give away. You can email Angela at myfaithradio.com, put book in the subject line, and she'll make sure to get you the link. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. So honored to be talking to Dr. Mark Job. He's president of Moody Bible Institute. He's a pastor of a multi-campus church, as well as other things. But he's written a really great new book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. And we've been walking through seven sticking points that he's identified, not only through the story of Elijah, but just in his ministry to thousands over the years, of things that happen typically when we get stuck. That first one is isolated living and distorted thinking. The third one is impaired hearing. And here we are now, number four, warped identity. The mental picture we carry of ourselves defines how we interact with the world, he says. The battle for personal identity rages from kindergarten playgrounds to the offices in corporate America. How you see yourself and who you think you are will affect life as deeply as any thoughts you have. Say more about warped identity. And I would love to know, even Mark, from your own life, how God helped you come into the knowledge and the realization of your true identity in him.
Yeah, so identity is such an important thing, because really our passion and our calling flows from identity. And Elijah had a warped identity. It was warped by his circumstances. But I want to say this. I just recently did a women's encounter retreat with about 600 women, and I had a woman come on stage, and I had a big piece of paper, and I said, "Make some holes in this paper." And so she took a pen and made some holes in the paper. And I said, "This is like our lives when we're children." And I took some seeds and said, "See how the seeds go into those holes?" And what happens, I believe, is that when the more holes we have in our life when we're young, the more the seeds of lies penetrate, and those lies grow up with us, and they entangle themselves around us like a vine would entangle itself in a tree growing up. And after a while, we can't tell what is a lie and what is us. It affects our personality, affects how we see ourselves. People that have experienced sexual abuse, verbal abuse, when divorce has been involved, when addictions have been involved, all those things in a household especially, they start to affect our identity. And then we grow up sort of believing those lies. I have to tell young people all the time, your desires and attractions tell me something about your struggles, but they don't define who you are. And so our world has told us that if we have certain attractions, that defines our identity. And that's not what the Word of God tells us. And so we have to separate our desires and our attractions from our identity. And that is only found really through this God encounter. And when we start understanding what God truly has to say about us, our identity is found in what God the Father says about us. If it's wrapped into our circumstances or our trauma, then it can be very dangerous to our sense of who we are and to our future and to our calling.
Wow, Mark, that's such an important distinction. You don't hear very many people saying that. People are very much intermingling attractions and desires with identity. You know, I am what I desire. And to buy into that lie will lead you on a path that will destroy you, because your identity is so much deeper, more important. Wow, that is so good. Okay, here's another one, neglected issues. This is another sticking point. And we talk about this a lot on the show, Mark, just about just going to the basement, the things you shove into the basement of your soul that you work around, you try to cope and try not to deal with, they will constantly impact your perspective and your choices. And you said this, the more we run from our issues, the more they control our destiny and affect every area of our life. When we turn around and face them, when we go to the hard places, only then can we finally move forward. Wow, I love that. Say more.
Yeah, so I think of Elijah. It's interesting that God says to Elijah after he comes out of the cave, go back the way you came and go through the desert of Damascus. Now, he was telling him, go face your issues. Stop running. What are you doing here in the cave? I have a calling upon your life. Go back to your calling. Go face the things that create fear in your life. And interestingly enough, Susie, God tells him to go back through the desert of Damascus. I wonder why. Why through the desert of Damascus? He says specifically, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. It was in the desert of Damascus that Elijah felt suicidal. It was there that he experienced life isn't worth living. And it was back home that he was running from Jezebel. And so I think that God, sometimes when we get unstuck, when we're stuck, we're looking for a new assignment. Mm-hmm. And we want a different way. We don't want to go back, but oftentimes the way forward is the way back. We have to go deal with our issues. We have to face our fears. We have to go to those places where we were suicidal or depressed. And, I was in Africa a while back, and the vehicle that we were in got stuck and in this muddy road. And like oftentimes happens, to get it out, we had to get out of the car and we had to push it back and forth before it could go forward. But, it had to go back before it went forward. And so I believe spiritually, sometimes that's the issue. We want to ignore the past. We want to just act like it doesn't. But it keeps holding us back. And sometimes to go forward, we have to go back.
Very, very good. Okay, number six, blurred calling. It's another sticking point. Coming to terms with what we are called to do and what we need to let go of is essential. This is the one that spoke to me. Coming to terms with what we are called to do and what we need to let go of is essential. Releasing those things that we were never meant to carry frees up internal energy and resources to tackle our main calling. Now, I can see how this would definitely affect or impact or connect to issues that God wants you to sort through so that you can release. But I will say for me, you know, how this really spoke to me is I'm in a new season. So it's requiring new boundaries for me. It's like I'm in a new season, so I have to redraw the lines because I'm finding there's things that are exhausting me that other people can do that I need to delegate. And so I want you to hear this again, friend, in case you need to hear it. Coming to terms with what we are called to do and what we need to let go of is essential. Releasing those things that we're never meant to carry frees up internal energy and resources to tackle our main calling. Go ahead and say more about that one.
Yeah, you know, when God gets Elijah out of the cave, he tells him to delegate to three people, to the king of Aram, the king of Israel, and to Elisha, who would become his apprentice. So basically God says, get out of the cave and go delegate things. What struck me is that Elijah was carrying things that God never asked him to carry. Usually what drains us, Susie, isn't our calling, even though it may be intense. Usually what drains us is when we take on responsibilities that God never asked us to carry. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it involves controlling things that we can't control. Sometimes it involves people's expectations on us that we start to feel like, well, people expect me to carry this. And, you know, part of, I think, getting unstuck is just saying, you know what, I'm not called to do that. Or I know you expect that from me, but I can't meet your expectation. That's not what I'm going to do. And focusing on what God truly has called us to do, because usually that's a place of empowerment. Yeah. That's a place where we find our greatest anointing, where we find our energy, as opposed to carrying things because people expect it or because our own expectations of ourselves.
So good. I mean, I so agree with you. When you're in that sweet spot or in the lane that you know that you're called to, you can even put up with a lot. I mean, you will be opposed. There'll be frustrating days, but there is an empowerment where, like, you're made for this. But it's all the extra stuff that's not, you know, that God's saying, someone else can do that. You don't have to be the one. That's the stuff that drains. So I think that's so important. Okay, number 7, deferred beginnings. The time comes when a person needs to say goodbye to the safety of the cave and launch into the risky world of faith living. All of us come to a point where we know we must take the next step forward or remain stuck. This is a scary moment. The instant we release our grip and choose to trust our Heavenly Father. So good. Say more.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us, what we do is we know where we need to go. We just keep postponing it because there's fear involved, because there's change involved. And I think that deferred beginnings is about delayed obedience. It's like, if you know you need to do that, if you know what you need to do, then take the first step in the journey. Stop postponing. The first step out of the cave is going to involve a important but scary step. And so that is an important step. The first step of doing what I know God has called me to do, the first step in the journey.
You know, we're just about out of time, and I have so many more questions for you, Mark, but I'm going to wrap with this one. What do you know about God now that you didn't know maybe even as well 5-10 years ago?
You know, I knew it 5 or 10 years ago, theoretically, but the faithfulness of God, the breadth, the height, the depth of his faithfulness is something that the longer I'm with God, the more I'm appreciating that God is faithful to every promise. God is faithful to his presence on us. God is faithful. He controls the future. He controls the present. He is able to affect our view of the past as well. God is faithful. And that reality is becoming more and more sweet and powerful in my life.
Well, I just also want to honor your faithfulness, Mark, because you don't get to where you are at. You refuse to stay stuck. I mean, you continued to persevere and trust God and obey him. And so you've been faithful with little. He keeps entrusting you with more and more. And your capacity to manage things now is just really stellar. So I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and what a difference you're making in the kingdom.
Thank you, Susie. It's been a pleasure to be on the program with you. And hopefully we'll be able to talk again sometime in the future. And again, I love the fact that I'm your warm up.
That's
ready for.
I almost can't bear it.
I'm the opening act there.
That makes me laugh. Oh my goodness. Dr. Mark Jobe is my guest today. Unstuck is his book. We'll leave the drawing open for a little bit longer. Don't stay stuck. And if you feel stuck, this is the book for you. Email Angela at myfaithradio.com and sign up for the drawing. We love you. We appreciate you. God has a plan for your life. Cooperate with him. Refuse to stay stuck. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.